You're listening and watching MHF Mover Forward podcast and TV series. It's a place where you can listen, learn, and you got it, level up. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Edwina McKinnon, and on Mover Forward, we bring you new topics twice a month that is dedicated to women in business. So join us as we have thought-provoking conversations where our speakers share their secrets of strategizing their next moves to help you learn, listen, and level up. If you love learning new things, do remember to hit that subscribe button because you will love it here at Move Her Forward, where we remove the fluff, yes, the fluff out of our conversation and bring you increased value to your day. So I am truly excited to welcome my special guest. This is going to be probably one of the most epic episodes that we premiere on this podcast. And I welcome you to our guest, Renny Oditoyinbo. She hails from Toronto, Canada, my hometown. She is the content queen online, the content creator and marketing consultant. She is on YouTube. She has a YouTube channel called XO Renny. She shares resources about her career development, lifestyle, financial literacy, and buying her first house. Believe it or not, at the age of 23, she decided to share her knowledge with others, which is her goal, to really help people understand adulting. She helps them become more financially literate and shares tips to help them excel in their careers. From finance to career to lifestyle content, Renny aims to make complex topics simple. Renny is also a part of YouTube Black Class of 2022, an accelerator program run by Google where she builds her channel. Welcome, Renny, to our show. We are so excited to have you on board. I know a lot about you, but I know for our listeners, they would love to explore a little bit more about you. So if you can take the time just to share who you are through your lens and how you plan to move us forward in this episode.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for having me, Edwina. I'm honored to be here. And that was a great intro, so thank you. Hi, everyone. I am Renny Oditoyinbo. People call me Renny the Resource. And as Edwina said, I make content about financial literacy, and I have been doing it full time for the past year and a half. So I'm really excited to share more about financial literacy and just tips for you to get your money up.
Yes, and I'm excited because I want to get my money up, and I know a lot of women right now, and even men, they want to get their money up as well. So like I said, we take the fluff out of our conversation, and we really want to get into your strategies, and we want to level up our money and our finance, and even we'll talk a little bit about content as well. But in your opinion, what are some common mistakes that women make when they are managing their finances?
One of the biggest mistakes I think that women make when managing their finances is that they think they can't manage it, so they don't even try to manage their finances. We've heard a lot of things like, oh, you know, the man should manage the money in the relationship, or a lot of people just believe that women aren't good with money, so they don't even try to learn how to manage their finances. So I would say one of the biggest mistakes is that we don't even try because we think that we are not capable. But I am living proof that you're definitely, it's every woman can manage their money. They just have to get the right skills and learn how to manage their money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another mistake that I would say is a lot of people are trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm sure lots of us have heard that terminology before where you're trying, you're doing what you're doing, but you're doing it in order to keep up with the next person who's doing it. So you see your neighbor bought a nice car and you're like, oh, we probably make around the same money. Why can't I also have a nice car? So then you upgrade your car when you really probably don't need to. And then it just becomes a constant cycle of trying to up yourself, but one up the other person. And it's costing you a lot of money for no reason. Like, focus on yourself, focus on your lane. And then, I said those are two common mistakes that I often see.
Awesome. Like, this is why I love my episodes, because we get right to it. You're dropping gems like right out of the gate. And I love it. Something that you said that really is going to resonate with a lot of women is like, we don't have that mindset. that we should be managing our own money. And we leave it, sometimes we get into relationships and we're just like, okay, we leave it up to our spouse. But honestly, women, we are capable of so much more. We are capable of being millionaires. We are capable of being billionaires. And what Rennie, you're saying really is it's sounding the alarms, keeping up with the Joneses. Oh my gosh, I could attest to, I've been in that part of my life before where I see other people, especially Instagram. Instagram is like a platform where you see all of the successes of individuals and never the failures really. And you start to compare yourself with people online. So like Rennie said, you are capable of managing your finances. Something that I wanted to ask you is, how could women save money on an everyday basis? So I know that you're saying that we should learn to manage our money, but I feel like women, and men really can't relate to this as much, but women, we have a lot of expenses just to be a woman. Like I was calculating it the other day for myself. Like I do my nails, I do my hair, I do my makeup. These are like, if you see a woman, like it costs money to be us. So what are some, you know, key strategies that you can share with like our everyday purchases? How could we really start to manage these purchases so they don't get out of control? And I also want to say before you start talking to you is there's like, you know, cosmetic surgery that's becoming really vibrant in Toronto and Canada and different countries as well. So like Botox and different things. So our expenses go from like just being small to start being, you know, very elaborate. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, what is your gems? What do you think we should be doing as women?
When you talk about Botox and things like that, I think everyone should do what they want to do, but also think about why you are doing it. Again, I think it goes back to the keeping up with the Joneses thing. Like, are you getting Botox because you're trying to compete with every other girl who has Botox, or do you truly want Botox? Like, I think these are things we have to consider before we spend money. You know, the concept of delayed gratification where you want something, but it doesn't mean you necessarily have to get it immediately. Maybe think about it for a while before you purchase, because oftentimes you realize that you don't actually want a lot of the things, you just wanted it in that moment. And if you give into that impulsivity, then you'll definitely spend a lot more money than if you sleep on it. For me, I know that if I'm like online shopping at like 1 a.m., midnight, I'll probably buy it. And then in the morning, I'm like, why did I buy this, right?
So yes.
Now I have a rule that like I don't online shop during the nighttime. I will sleep on it, wake up. And then most times, honestly, I don't really want it by the time it's morning. But things like hair, makeup, nails, those are things that me, like I always do my nails, always do my hair. It's something that every single month I'm going to do. But one way to save money would be, I used to do it every 2 weeks, for example, my nails, but that can get a bit costly. So now I push it out to every 3 weeks. So that means only once a month I'm paying for this expense. So that would be one way to like lower your expenses. You're just pushing it out an extra week. They still typically look good enough to go out. And then at least only once a month you're paying for that expense. Another tip that I would have is to bulk purchase if you can. So I don't know about you, but my nail tech, for example, will say, okay, if you buy 5 services in advance and you pay in advance, then you get a discounted price. So say your nails are like $60 each time for your set, and then maybe she'll give it to you for $50 each time if you buy them in advance. So that's something you could talk to them about, because of course they want the money up front. It's better for them if they get the money up front. So if you can afford, of course, make sure you can afford it, but if you can afford to pay in advance, then typically you can save a bit of money if you do that. So those would be a few of the tips that I have to save money, because I know these are things that are essentials. Like, we're going to do them regardless. Well, essential for me at least. I do it regardless, but there are smarter ways that you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some of us are a little bit high maintenance where, like you mentioned, some of us like getting our nails done is not a thing. But I know like for most women getting, like for me, getting my nails done is like a ritual that I, you know, and I started, actually somebody taught me this is like, don't get like colored nail polish, get clear, like natural colors. So you don't see like the grow out happening right away. Cause I know, oh my gosh, like those are just like some tips and tricks that I've come across. I want to ask you your opinion too, just like on this topic as well. somebody had, I was talking with somebody and they said that like women, we don't have like a spending problem. We have like an income problem. It's not like we're not going out there and spending crazy amounts. We're just really doing this for like self-help and just really taking care of this one body that we have. What is your opinion about that saying that we don't have a spending issue? We have like an income problem.
I will say that it's true for a lot of people, but oftentimes some people do have spending problems. So let's acknowledge that some people do, but it's true. Oftentimes when someone will tell you, start budgeting, start doing this. If you are living on the poverty line, budgeting can only help you so much, right? Or Toronto is so expensive. So you can budget as much as you want, but as if you're not increasing your income, then it's extremely hard to manage your finances. So I would say the easiest way to live comfortably is to increase your income and then keep your expenses relatively similar. Don't give into lifestyle creep where, you know, you increase your income, but then your expenses increase in proportion. So you're not actually saving anymore. Like I agree with this person that a lot of people don't have a spending problem. They just have an income problem. So try to get your money up. And I always say that you need to have multiple streams of income. I just recently released a video where I was sharing the 5 different streams of income I had last month, which allowed me to make $12,000 last month off of social media. So that's only on social media. I have other streams as well. So imagine I only had one stream of income. It's very hard to make $12,000 from one stream of income on a monthly basis. But if I can diversify, now I have my podcast that pays me. I have my YouTube channel that pays me. I have my speaking engagements that pay me. Like there's so many different options to help me get paid. So I would tell everyone to level up their money, get your money up next year or this year, and try to diversify your sources of income.
Ooh, I love it. All the gems. I really love that you said develop multiple streams of income, especially for like women in corporate that actually like are working like a 9-to-5. They feel like they can't create these multiple streams of income because they're working for a corporation. But like you said, there's like different tasks that you can take, like developing an online presence, speaking opportunities. And I never really understood the concept of paying all your bills with one stream of income. It just never really worked for me. A long time ago, I read this book, which you're probably familiar with, which is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, that talks about like developing streams of income. So and also, congratulations to you for hitting that $12,000. You know, that's huge. That I just love to see Black women excelling and making money because that is our birthright. I truly believe that. So with that being said, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, because you were saying that women could create financial goals. But some women, sometimes myself, like we have a hard time with creating these goals and sticking to it. What are some things that you could recommend to women right now is to create those financial goals and stick to it? What are strategies that you could really help us with today?
This is a good question and something I would say that I'm kind of like an expert in. In 2022, I launched an accountability group and I had 100 people in that group. And together we saved, invested and repaid in debt $935,000 altogether. So I think that, again, it's easy to set financial goals, but it's extremely hard to actually stick to them. So I have a few tips. The first thing I would say would be to release yourself from the guilt that you have about not reaching your financial goals before. Because one thing that often happens is people feel like they feel guilty or they feel sad that they didn't achieve XYZ. And then they let that achieve them. A lot of times people feel guilty about not achieving this thing. So they let that affect them and then they don't achieve the next thing because they're still caught up in the moment of like, oh my gosh, I didn't achieve this. But the first thing that I would say to help you achieve your financial goals would be to release yourself from the fact that you did not reach your goals before. The next thing that you want to do is set SMART goals. So a lot of times we say, okay, in 2022, I want to sit, or in 2023, I want to save a lot of money. What is a lot of money? What does that actually mean? How are you going to save it? Where are you going to save it? What is that money for? Like, I want details because when you set, that's just a wish. When you say, I want to save a lot of money, that's just a wish. But a goal would be something that is specific, something that is measurable, something that is attainable, something that is realistic, and something that is time bound. So instead of saying just like, I am going to save a lot of money this year, I could say, I'm going to save $20,000 from January 2023 to December 2023. I will be transferring X amount into my high interest savings account that I have with this bank. And to do that, I will send, I'm not sure how much it is, $385 biweekly into my savings account. And that is a specific and measurable goal. And I know that there's a clear path on how I'm going to achieve it. Another thing you want to do is take the human error out of it as much as possible. So we as humans, a lot of us like to spend, right? So I like to take all the human error out of it. I automatically transfer my money so that on payday, I get paid, the money automatically goes into my investing account and into my savings account. So that is something that I would tell every single woman to do, like automate your transfers. You do not have to do all the work because you want to pay yourself first, basically. Once you get paid, that money goes straight into your savings or investing or to whatever goal that you have so that you can so that you don't even have to worry about it. Another thing that I would say is you want to tell somebody about your goals. So again, it's good for that I have this goal, it's great and all, but who's keeping me accountable? Have a friend or a coworker or a family member, whoever you can trust and who has similar goals to you, and tell them about your goals so that they can keep you accountable. So again, that's what I did with my accountability group. And a lot of people were able to meet their financial goals for the first time in their life. So I would recommend it to every single person. Try to follow those steps and you'll definitely see a change. And then the last thing I would say about that is to create separate accounts for each goal that you have. So a lot of times people are saving, say you're saving for a house, a car, and a new phone. A lot of people will put all that money into one account and then say an emergency happens, then you take money out. But which goal did you just take the money out of? A lot of people have no idea. So I typically suggest that people create an account for your house, create an account for your car, and create an account for your phone. And then each month you calculate how much you need to transfer into each of those three accounts. And that typically works better. It's also a visual reminder, like, oh, like I'm actually like growing this goal and I'm close to whatever goal that you have. So yeah, those would be my pieces of advice.
Oh, I just love it. I always look at life like chess, the chessboard game where you have to have strategies. Mm. And I always say this to my listeners, when you listen to these episodes, grab a pen and paper because they are dropping gems left, right, and center. So I love it. I really love that you spoke about technology, like taking the human error out of things and leveraging technology, because we're in a time right now where, like you said, you can create these multiple bank accounts. And I will say, like, I believe in atomic habits where, like, if you see it, just like you're saying, it's just a reminder of all the things that you have to stick to, all these goals. So I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And when we look at women, you know, and this credit responsibility, because sometimes our credit card bills can get out of hand. I'll talk for some women, like, let's say they have to order hair extensions, like this stuff could all get really expensive. And we'll just like, let's just throw it on the credit card for now. How could women really create credit responsibility? And let's talk about that credit score, because it makes a huge difference with you buying a house, with the type of loans you get. So through your lens, what are some recommendations that you can help right now women with?
So I always want to tell people that credit is not a bad thing. Credit cards are not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing. And it's kind of necessary here in Canada and in the States. But you need to use it responsibly. So I would say there's nothing wrong with putting your hair on your credit card, but you don't want to carry a balance month over month because that is going to create excessive interest that you're paying. So say the extensions were $300, but then you keep it until the next month, then you're going to be paying $350 for that same thing. And then if you hold it again, you know, it'll keep compounding because the interest rate on those loans is about 19.99% on average. So typically you like, there's no point, like, why are you paying 19% on a hair to buy hair? Realistically, it doesn't make much sense. So the thing you want to understand is how your credit score is formed and how you what habits you need to cultivate in order to get the highest credit score. Like, I have a credit score in the 800s, and it's because I use my credit card as if it's a debit card. I only spend as much money on my credit card as I have in my bank account. Like, I never carry a balance on my credit card because, like, you know, I'm trying to be responsible and again, when you have a great credit score, it helps you in a lot of other aspects of your life and helps you save money. Like if I'm getting my mortgage, I get a better rate than somebody who has a worse credit score than me. And over a mortgage is a big loan, so it will help you save a lot of money long term. So the things you want to look at when you are considering your credit score, there are five different factors that go into your credit score. The first is the types of credit that are in use. So there are different types of credit. There are payday loans, there are credit cards, there are student loans. All of these are different types of credit. And having a good mixture of them is something that is good for your credit score. The credit bureau is looking that you have a mixture because they see that, oh, this person knows how to manage different types of credit. So payday loans are one that I would stay away from, but the others are fine as long as you are managing them well. The second factor that would affect your credit is new credit. So if you're constantly asking the applying for new credit cards and trying to, they're called inquiries. If you're inquiring to open credit, it actually impacts your credit negatively every time you do that because they have to run a credit check on you. So I would tell women to it's fine to ask, but don't be doing it on a regular basis, especially if you don't need the card and you don't actually think you're going to going to open that card. Don't be doing random credit inquiries on a regular basis. The next thing that would affect your credit score is your length of credit history. So if you have a credit, if your credit, it's like the length of time that you've had credit for. So I opened my first credit card when I was 18 years old, and now I am 26 years old. That is 8 years of credit history. And then when I go to a lender, they're going to be like, oh, this person has utilized credit extremely well over the past 8 years. Now I can, you know, give them this loan. That's great for me. But if I were to, if I open a credit card, say midway, so I 4 years in, I open a credit card, it actually shrinks your credit history down. They take the average of the two. So yeah, so if I open a credit card today, and that's my second credit card, my credit length is now 4 years instead of that 8 years. So that's something you have to consider. It's not a bad thing. 4 years is still great. But if you're constantly opening new credit cards, it's just shrinking your average down and down and down. I also say that you should not close your credit cards unless it's like a specific situation. But typically, you don't want to close any of your credit cards. Because if I close that first 8 year credit card, that's like shrinking my credit length by a lot. Another thing that affects your credit is your payment history. And this one is the most important one. It is 35% of what makes up your score. So you want to make sure that you are paying for your credit card on time, as I mentioned earlier. You want to pay it regularly. You want to not carry a balance if you can. So that means within the interest-free time period, you're going to make sure to pay off your credit card. And then the last one is the amounts owed. So again, if you have a balance, this is about 30% of the calculation. So it's big as well. You want to make sure you're not owing any balances. If you are getting things that are sent to collections, that's going to impact your credit score. If you are just, you know, not getting delinquencies and you're no longer paying your balance, that is going to show up on your credit score and impact you very negatively. So those are the five things that go into creating your credit score. And I think if you understand them fully, then it will help you a lot and help you manage your credit and get a great credit score.
Yeah, that's like everything that you said. I was actually just taking some notes. Like they sound so simple to do, and it's almost like common sense with a lot of the things that you're saying. But I know with finance and money, sometimes we get overwhelmed, and it's like that mindset. I really, really love technology, especially because we're moving into like a really digital era. What are some technology and online resources other than, of course, yourself? You have amazing resources that you provide. And I really love that you kind of educate us on adulting in an adulting way where we understand it. But what are some other resources, especially like the checking your credit score as an example? What are some resources that you can share that can really level us up?
So for checking your credit score, you could use a credit monitoring app like Borrowell. And all you would do is, you can go and check your credit you get a free yearly check using Borrowell. So that's good just to monitor, like, is anything on my credit that shouldn't be on my credit, and different things like that. So Borrowell would be one that you can use. Also, a lot of people don't know this, but if you are with one of the big five banks, they have credit monitoring tools built into their platforms. So TD, RBC, Scotiabank, all of them, they have them built into their platforms. So you go on your online banking and they have a credit monitoring score. It's not the most accurate, but it shows you a gauge of what is on your credit and what your current credit score will be. So that would be a free resource that you can use. Also, just resources in general, financial advisors at the bank are typically free for you. So you can reach out to one of them. They can give you advice. Obviously, you don't have to take all their advice. But it's a good resource and they have a wealth of information that they can provide to you. And then obviously podcasts, YouTube channels, Instagram pages. There are so many people online who are sharing great information. I always say personal finance is personal though. So you can take their information, but take it with a grain of salt. So you take it and then you learn that same topic from another person and another person. And then maybe you take the average of what they're saying, because a lot of people speak from their own personal experience and it may not truly relate to you. So yeah, some of my favorite podcasts would be Her First 100K, which is by Tori Dunlap. And she shares about how she saved her first 100K by, I think, 25 years old. And now she has built a seven-figure business where she teaches people about financial literacy. There's also Clever Girl Finance by Bala Shakumbi. And she teaches personal finance as well. And I love her content. It's so relatable. And she dumbs things down, so it's extremely easy to understand. And yeah, there are a lot of great podcasts. I also have a podcast called Don't Go Broke Trying. And on that podcast, I teach people how to not go broke trying to live their best life. And we talk to different people who have gone broke, and I interview them, and they share their life lessons. So yeah, those are a few podcasts that I would recommend.
Awesome. I love it. And I have listened to your podcast, and I really love it. I love that you do the scenario-based questions, so like people could actually give you a scenario and then you answer it. So if you are looking for a podcast around financial literacy, please check out Rennie. She's doing amazing things online. I wanted to also segue. We get questions from our listeners every now and then, and this question actually came in from one of our listeners. So she referenced herself as a single breadwinner, and she was saying that she doesn't have a spouse, she's single, but she's looking to really do some great things. What could you kind of recommend to a single woman or even a single mom that is having to navigate through being a sole financial provider? What are some recommendations and really quick tips? I know you've shared quite a bit already, but what are some quick tips that you can share with this listener right now?
If they're feeling like they are not capable to manage the finance, or what, I guess, did they give any context about like what they need help with? Are they not feeling capable of managing?
I know. It looks like a generic question, like being a single breadwinner, sole financial decision maker, how could they navigate through some challenges financially that they're experiencing? It looks like this one is a generic question that's come in. I think you can maybe give like one tip. How do you make like a decision if you're really the sole financial provider?
I would say if you aren't feeling confident in your decision-making skills, then I would say lean on people for help. There are so many free resources, as we've just mentioned, but one I would really emphasize is a financial advisor. These people have gone to school to learn about financial literacy. These people they've gone through a lot of schooling, a lot of exams, a lot of certifications, and they know what they're talking about typically. So I would say, if you are looking for help, don't be afraid to ask others for help. You can ask people like me, or you can go to your local bank branch or find an independent financial advisor and get a lot of information from them. And they can help you with this decision-making skills. Because, yeah, it can be a little daunting and scary to make huge financial decisions by yourself, especially if you are the sole decision maker. But you don't have to do it yourself. You can lean on the experts and get their point of view so that you can feel more confident in your decisions. I always say that education is the game changer. Like, that's what makes you feel confident, right? So go get educated by learning from people online, but also go to the professionals who are in the bank branches or in independent companies.
Yeah, I love it. And pretty much you're saying just ask for help. Really, that's what it comes down to. I know women, we tend to, I don't know what it is, maybe our ego, I don't know, something embedded with us, but we don't like to ask for help. And that is so crucial, is just asking for help. We're going to pivot into something really quick. We're going to talk about relationships and finance real quick here. If you're in a relationship right now, I know it's really tricky to navigate because there's no blueprint when it comes to how finances should be in a relationship. But just through your lens, if you have a new relationship blooming and maybe the couple is going to be moving in together, what is a key tip that the couple should really think about when they're dealing with their finances? And also through your lens, because this comes up all the time in relationships, like 50, should it be 50-50? Should the woman be paying 50? Should the man? This comes up quite a bit, on especially on social media. So through your lens, what should it be, and if it should be anything at all?
Yeah, but to answer your second question, I think it should be whatever the couple decides on it. Some couples are comfortable with 50-50. I know a lot of couples are not comfortable with 50-50. It all depends on you. And I always, again, don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Think of what makes sense for your situation. This is actually a question that I asked on my Instagram story once. And I asked, what does everyone do? Because everyone's saying 50-50, 50-50 online. They're not doing 50-50. But in Toronto, it's an extremely high cost of living city. So I'm sure a lot of you are actually doing 50-50 and you're not saying it. And most people admitted that, yeah, they are doing 50-50. So I would say don't try and keep up with the Joneses or what's going on social media. Just think about what works best for you in your situation. If you're making $60,000 a year, your partner is making $200,000 a year, obviously, going 50-50 makes no, like, it doesn't make any sense. You do things that are proportionate to your income. So I would say that would be my answer for the second question. And then your first question was just tips in a relationship. I think that communication is key. If you cannot have honest conversations about money in your relationship, it is doomed to fail. Finances are one of the leading causes of divorce, and it's for a good reason. Finances impact like our whole life, essentially. And if you can't be honest with your partner about your financial statement, for financial situation, then it can really affect your relationship long term. There's this term called, I believe it's financial infidelity, when you are hiding things from said partner because you, I don't know, maybe you're scared of their reaction to what you're doing. You know you're doing something wrong. Please, just like you wouldn't want someone cheating on you, please also don't cheat on them financially. So that would be my first thing. Discuss your lifestyle choices together, right? Try to be with someone who's equally yoked to you. I know we say that sometimes spiritually equally yoked, but also financially equally yoked. And I'm not saying that you have to make the same amount of money. I'm saying that you should have a similar mindset about money together. Like, I am someone who is I invest a lot of my money. Like, the majority of my income goes to investments and savings. I spend a bit, but like, I keep my expenses pretty low. And if I'm with somebody who is a spendthrift, like they love spending, it's honestly just not going to work, because I have big long-term goals that I'm trying to achieve and we're not really balanced. And I feel like it will cause a lot of tension. So I would tell everybody to like discuss your lifestyle choices together, not separately. And then you'll definitely see a better improvement in your relationship. And then I would say set your expectations together as well, but that goes hand in hand. Like, what do you expect from me financially? What do you expect from this person financially? Are we coming together and joining all our finances together? You know, these are the things. And also, on the note of joining all your finances together, I would say also keep a Vex fund if you are in a relationship. Like, it's good to combine finances. There's nothing wrong with combining finances, but we always need that like extra money that is our own on the side, that if anything goes left, we still have money left over for us. So yeah, those would be a few tips that I have for financial dating and finances.
I love it. The Vex file, I had to write that down. But I strongly believe with what you're saying. You have to have your own money, woman. Like, you have to have your bank account and have your own money. So I just love those tips. Rennie, thank you so much for dropping all these magical, amazing, common sense ways of handling money, especially for women. If a woman right now wanted to lock in and find you, where is the best place that they can locate you? And are you open to mentorship as well?
Yes, thank you for having me, Edwina. I really appreciate it. The best place to find me would be on my Instagram page, on my YouTube channel, or on my TikTok. And the handle is XORENI, so XORENI. And you can find me on all of those platforms. I post videos every single day on Instagram and TikTok. And then on YouTube, once a week, I have a larger video that will expand on topics. You can also listen to my podcast, Don't Go Broke Trying, where I share tips and tricks about financial literacy as well. And yeah, I currently have a one-on-one session that I have with people. So definitely can book that if you would like to and just ask me any questions that you have. I'm not a financial coach though. So I just speak from personal experiences, but I'm not a licensed financial advisor. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and your strategies and moving women forward. That's what this podcast is about, taking the fluff out of our conversation. Renny, please keep shining so bright online that they cannot ignore you. That's how I found you. And I just want you to keep doing what you're doing because you have people from different eras in their life and journey that's locking into you. So please, please, please keep shining so bright online that, like I said, we cannot ignore you. And I really hope that everybody was able to lock in this episode and find some value. And with that being said, remember to subscribe and remember to follow, like, and comment, and have yourself a wonderful, blessed day. Take care. Bye for now. Bye.